Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth tonight. We pray as we study the Lord tonight, Lord, that we will be encouraged and we will be enlightened by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit as it open up our eyes to the word of truth and give us that insight, Lord Jesus, and take us into the depths of your scripture. And we thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the gospel tonight, Lord Jesus, and that if anyone is hearing and heard the good news, and that is what we just said, Jesus Christ died, buried, rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. If they believe that tonight, anyone, if they believe that tonight, they have been saved from the penalty of sin and have eternal life. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to get going tonight. We're going to, Paul pinned down the gospel, like I said, more of a brethren. In 1 Corinthians 1 through 4, Paul said, well, more of a brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and where you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the script, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the script. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved, my brothers and sisters. All right, tonight, God gave us free will. What are you doing with it? Genesis 2, 16 through 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When God created Adam and Eve, he instilled a free will in their innermost being. God gave them advice, not to mention giving them the opportunity to believe him or to choose their own way. We all have free will, and the question tonight, what are you doing with it? Free will concerning peace and tranquility to our souls, my brothers and sisters. We have that free will. We can choose to worry or to trust God and be anxious for nothing. Now, many at this very moment are stressed out due to the many situations and circumstances that we see in this sin-cursed world. Many have no peace tonight. Oh, you know that saying that says many are searching for love in all the wrong places, searching for peace and words of comfort in all the wrong places. Many are searching for answers in all the wrong places. Many are searching for clarity and understanding in all the wrong places. Now, since we possess bodies that respond directly to our souls, it is easily realized there is often a direct connection between the condition of our bodies and the state of our souls. Stress upon the soul can take its toll upon the body in a wide variety of ways. Many saints tonight are on a quest to find a way of providing rest for their souls. While they are troubled, perplexed, and distressed, many tonight do not have no peace. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. By all means in this verse means in all circumstances. May God give you peace whatever you face. There is more. By all means also mean in every season of life. The worst thing you can ever do with your fears is to suppress them. Fear is like a coiled spring. The more you press it down, the more it would push back against you. There is only one way to deal with the fears lurking in your life, and that is to bring them out into the open and face them. It doesn't help to say, well, don't worry. It may never happen. Don't say that to yourself. Don't say that to others. It only leads to asking, What if it does happen? Many are struggling with the what-ifs at this moment tonight. There will be times when you lie awake at night worrying about these things. What if the unthinkable happens? Here's what you can do. Number one, ask Christ to give you his peace. My brothers and sisters, what we just read in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And two, remind yourself of the foundation on which peace rests. 2 Thessalonians 3:17 through 18. If you write that down, 2 Thessalonians 3:17 through 18, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle. So I write, Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In other words, this prayer is not a helpless cry in the dark. It is grounded in the promise of God. And as you make this prayer, you are to bring the foundation of peace to mind. Peace. Even the sound of the word has something soothing and pleasant about it. Many are longing for peace. Peace is welcomed by our inner man. It is no intruder or unwanted guest. Of all the visitors that come knocking on the door of our mind, peace is the one that we long to see and readily receive. It is the most welcome of guests. Moreover, we want it to reside with us, to make itself at home with us. It can never overstay its welcome, for it's always welcome. Because of this, we are grieved whenever peace takes its leave. And when we are intruded upon by such characters as stress, distress, grief, sorrow, fear, perplexity, anxiety, carefulness, worry, fear, dread, despair, and the like, their visits are always unsettling and upsetting. Hence, we long to see them leave and for peace to pay us a visit again. The need for that tranquility to our souls is at an all-time high. And I'm speaking to somebody tonight. Paul knew what it was to be unbearably crushed. He knew what it was to face overwhelming pressure, to feel his own weakness, and for Christ to say to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." 2 Corinthians 12:9. His grace is sufficient for you too, in all time. And in every way, face your fears. Don't push them back. Bring them out in the open. When you find yourself awake at night, ask Christ to give you his peace. Then remind yourself of the foundation on which peace rests. God's presence is with me. God's promise is sure. God's grace is sufficient. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. My brothers and sisters, let me say this, and that is, as Christians, we are not immune to the disease of a troubled soul. Though our souls should not be troubled in the least by many of the things that distress the unsaved, like what would happen to us when we die, because we know it's far better when we die and go home to be with the Lord. And we know our citizenship is in heaven. There are still plenty of things that we can experience in this world that can trouble us. For example, in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul addressed the issue of the sufferings of this present time that we can and do experience simply because we still live in a sin-cursed world. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, is what it says, with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. So with your free will, do you choose God's peace and tranquility to your soul? Or do you choose the worries and heartaches from not trusting God's word? These common sufferings can produce in us the same kind of misery, distress, and turmoil of the soul that they produce in others. In addition to the sufferings of this present time, Paul also talks to us about being partakers of the sufferings of Christ. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 1:5. The sufferings of Christ are not common to man. Instead, there are particular aspects of Satan's policy of evil against us because of who we are in Christ. Nevertheless, they are sufferings. And as such, they are designed by an adversary to produce stress and to put our souls in a state of distress. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In view of the sufferings of this present time and the sufferings of Christ, we often find Paul talking to us about the issue of the effect they had had upon him and would have upon us. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul was not overcome by stress. It did not swallow him up and turn him into a basket case. For as familiar as Paul was with stress and stress-producing situations, he was even more familiar with something else, the tranquilizing ministries of the Word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Are you overcome with stress tonight, worry, and anxiousness? Are you being swallowed up with the division, hatred, diseases, sickness, and the many circumstances in the world? Does it seem like all hope is gone? Being troubled on every side would tend to make one distressed, thinking that you could not cope. And I know that's the way many are feeling at this moment, and that is they can't cope. Being perplexed tends to put one in a state of despair, thinking that there's no way out of your situation. I know many are feeling like there's no way out, and their back is against the wall. Being persecuted tends to make one think he is forsaken and no longer cared for. Many are wondering if God cares, and are wondering if God loves me. And being cast down tends to make one think he is completely defeated or destroyed. Many have lost all hope as I speak. Though this is the natural tendency of these experiences, it was not the case with Paul. And for you and I, if we only trust God and his word, Paul was not distressed, not in despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. Instead of experiencing crippling stress, Paul experienced tranquility of the soul and spirit. Many just can't seem to find peace. Peace, therefore, is something we much desire. We also view it as the most precious commodity. For often we seek it at great cost, sometimes even at all costs. This is because there is little that compares with being at peace, both in our inner man and in our relationship with others. My brothers and sisters, God wants us to possess peace. God has fully provided for us to have it, and as such, he graciously and constantly extended to us. We all have free will. So are you choosing to trust God and his word and enjoy his wonderful peace and tranquility to your soul? Will you continue to try and find your own peace and do what you think will bring peace and tranquility to your soul? Apostle Paul's tranquility was the result of his spirit of faith. He believed some very specific things that God has given us to understand, appreciate, and believe. His mind was occupied with what God had said instead of with the circumstances he found himself in. What is your mind occupied with tonight? Does what's occupying your mind have eternal value? If you are fully persuaded of the truth of what God says in his word, regardless of what the circumstances may indicate, God's word will freshly work in you to produce tranquility in your soul and spirit. As Paul said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul had a spirit of faith. Let me say this to you tonight. No faith, no peace. comfort and tranquility to your soul. Your spirit of faith in what God has said to you will enable you to have peace and rest in your soul. Instead of crippling stress at this moment, you will be confident, encouraged, and at peace in your inner man through the effectual working of God's word within you. But we can only access it by faith. God our Father, nor the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the Spirit of God within us, they don't become distressed. They don't worry. They're not anxious or worry. No racing of the mind, no fight or flight response, no wringing of the hands, pacing of the floor, sleepless nights, or any other products of distress and uneasiness of mind. Instead, our Father, our Lord, and the Spirit within us are at peace within themselves regarding us. That's why we can trust Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God's word, because it is God's word, is able to effectually mediate between a troubled soul and an anxious spirit, and so produce rest. Hebrews 4:12 declares, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12, because God's word is able to pierce even to the divine asunder of the soul and spirit, it can effectually produce rest for the inner man. It can successfully buffer the spirit from the soul's reaction to adversity. And having done so, it enables the spirit to be occupied with such things as the truth of what is going on with the divine viewpoint, with what God values and esteems and the like. Hence, such a spirit of faith is able to objectively look at the situation, see it as God does, and confidently say, return unto thy rest, O my soul. God, in all his long-suffering, is presenting himself to us as the God of peace in various contexts for your various reasons. Now the God of peace be with you all, Paul says, amen, Romans 15:33. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen, Paul says in Romans 16:20. He said, finally, my brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Then, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 6:23. And then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:9. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. God is indeed the God of peace. And though realizing this is not something that is exclusive to us, in this present dispensation of God's grace, there is a real sense in which we today to have a special understanding and appreciation for God as such. For the fact is that knowing God as the God of peace, deeply appreciating him as such, and his loving him as such, is a definite and pre-planned objective in our sonship, education and edification. It is not only one of the specific ways in which we as sons have intimacy of fellowship with God our Father. It is also one of the primary ways in which we learn about the ecclesia of the power of God, word operating within us. Moreover, this particular aspect of our education and edification provides for the development within us of increasing ability to trust in Him and to operate upon the power of the effectual working of God's word within us, no matter what. My brothers and sisters, godly peace for our inner man is what our loving Father wants us to possess when we experience disquieting, disturbing, and trying circumstances in the details of our lives. Tranquility to our soul is something God has given us in His word by faith. Godly peace is something that God has designed for us to benefit. My brothers and sisters, from throughout the growth and maturing of our Christian lives, wherefore it behooves us to be certain that we understand and appreciate the issue of possessing such godly peace. And the mechanism for all of this is the direct communion and fellowship we are able to have and should have with our Father through prayer. God is genuinely touched by any and all of the disturbing and distressing things that we may encounter in our lives. He cares, my brothers and sisters. Godly peace is able to effectually produce within us throughout the entire range of suffering, affliction, tribulations, and trouble to which we can be subject in this present dispensation. Nothing is outside its range or beyond its capacity, for it is produced within us by the excellence of the power of God's word to us, which is perfect accordance with God's counsel and purpose regarding us has been specifically written to address and deal with every form of suffering to which we are subject as His sons. Indeed, our Father is the God of peace. He truly has provided for us to have His peace, godly peace, in all areas of our lives. In this dispensation of grace, God has provided us with completely sufficient tranquilizers, capable of handling any other sufferings of this present time or any other sufferings of Christ. It is little wonder, therefore, that the Apostle Paul would often refer to God as the God of peace. May we be the ones who likewise with Paul appreciate God as such, and who can say with him, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations." 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Stop running from your stresses, trials, problems, mental and emotional baggage that's weighing you down, the pain and hurt that's on the inside. Stop trying to find solutions to problems in the world or from others. Or from others who have no knowledge of God's word, right and divided. Stop looking for solutions to your problems in self-help books. Stop looking to man for your answers and the world ideas and the world solution, and just sit down and be still and put your faith in God's word that can bring tranquility and peace to your soul. Tranquility and peace would not come from drugs and alcohol. It would not come from reading a verse out of the Bible every now and then. It would not come from an emotional charged message from a pastor or preacher who have no understanding of God's word, right and divided. It would not come from the world's view of getting help for your problems in life. It can only come from a true, genuine relationship with God and putting your total trust in Him and His word and allowing His word to transform your life. And these wonderful benefits, they come from believing that Jesus Christ died, that He was buried and He rose again on the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel, getting out of Adam and into Christ. Only God and his word can give you the comfort and peace you need. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the good news of the gospel today, and I urge you to believe it. Christ died for your sins, and he rose for your justification. Faith makes what Jesus accomplished yours. That is how you have peace with God. What do you know of this? Do you have peace with God tonight? Are you running from God? Are you afraid of God? Do you feel like hiding from him as Adam and Eve did? Philippians 4:6-7 tell us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He's no stranger, my brothers and sisters, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many days do you wake up with anxious, my brothers and sisters, thoughts on your mind? In the past, before I came to totally trust God, I spent a lot of time and energy worrying about all kinds of things. And scriptures, like the ones above, convicted me. Then I came to realize that when Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wrote, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, he meant don't fret about anything at all. Why? Because whether it's just a little anxiety or a huge phobia, fear in any form would make us miserable. The foundation of God's kingdom is love. And we need to believe in his love in order to operate successfully in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians 3:14-21, I want you to go and read it. Paul lays out that prayer. He said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask to think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul prayed a special prayer. He prayed that believers in Ephesus would know and experience the love of God like never before. Early in my walk as a Christian, I tried to imagine being so peaceful that nothing would bother me or cause me to be anxious. But after attempting this and failing, I asked in prayer, how, Lord? I know nothing is impossible for you, and you wouldn't tell me to do something if it wasn't possible. But this really seems impossible. You know how terrifying the world can be? Have you read the news lately? In verse 6, Paul doesn't just tell us to be careful for nothing in Philippians. He also gives us something to do to defeat fear, worry, and anxiety. Instead of worrying, we ought to pray, telling God about our concerns and needs. When we pray, we should also be thankful for what he has already done. That's why we make our requests known to God in faith. We do so knowing that he loves us, will protect us, and is willing to give us solutions to our problems. The next verse points out the power of our salvation. Do you know what the power of our salvation is? It's God's love. He revealed his love for us when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now we can pray to him without being afraid of him. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. We now have the power to overcome temptation because God sat us right next to Jesus and gave us his authority over all the power of the enemy. And all these things make up the power of our salvation. So we have no reason to be fretful or fearful. When we are sure of who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ, our worries subside and we walk in wholeness, which is nothing missing or broken in our lives. This peace is so great that we may not fully understand it, but we can still have it. Being assured who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ give us peace that passes all understanding. Paul also taught us how to replace the anxious thoughts with faith-filled thoughts. In Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. If we want God's peace to continually flood our soul and drive out all our worry and fear, we need to make a commitment to meditate on the wonderful spiritual blessings we have in Christ that's found in his word. Ultimately, we will experience tranquility to our souls. We will get to more of our free will next week. Let us pray, Father. And we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in your scriptures, right divided, and that they were edified. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.